Okay, thank you, Abba. Bishus Rav, Rav Neuhaus Shlita, parents, Bishus Kol Hakal HaKaresh HaZeh. 35 years ago, as Rav Isaac Weiss reminded me, I laid my bar mitzvah parsha on Parsha Pekudei at the Choshva Beth Israel. And I remember I laid there and I spoke. And then that Sunday night, I had my own bar mitzvah party, which they had in those days. And Rav Mordechai Shapiro Zatzal spoke at my party. And I remember very little about what Rabbi Shapiro said. But one thing I remember, and it stayed with me for years, is that at my bar mitzvah, Rav Shapiro said he is very thankful that finally, in a mainstream bar mitzvah, there is no mixed dancing. That's what he spoke about. That Baruch Hashem, that you can have a bar mitzvah and not have mixed dancing. And he said, you know how that happened? Because my father was a Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein. And he said it was a schus of Rav Moshe Feinstein that at my bar mitzvah was no mixed dancing. And I think about it, I'm in this Makom HaKadosh, how, by the way, that was the norm in Miami Beach in those days. There was a chidim like Rav Barry Powell who could tell you, no way. But that was the norm in Miami Beach. And I look at today, Azam Makom Toira of Miami Beach, and this shul, not only beautiful, as the Rav said, a Makom Toira, I just look at the website, a Toira revolution is nothing less. And there were certainly individuals like Rav Shapiro, or Rav Chaim Foyer, the Koilal, the Yeshiva, who helped change this Kehila over the years. Remarkably. But I must say, a show like this didn't exist even when I came here 10, 15 years ago. Not a show that looked like this, not a show that functioned like this, with a Rav, with show functions around the Rav, a Makom Toira. I'd say just a little bit how this could have happened. It's an amazing Rabbi Rucham, great Mashkiach of the Mir, Rucham Lavovitz. So he points out in last week, in this past week's parsha, it says, "The uva kol ish asher nesar libo." And he quotes the Ramban. How did they build the Mishkan? How is the Mishkan built? Zokt Rabbi Rucham, based on the Ramban, that when you increase your initiative, when you have hasagas, when you have goals, you will accomplish tremendous things. That's true in mundane things. You know, you're in Silicon Valley, actually, Rick Gutenberg was there with me many years ago. If you want to build technology, you can't think small. And it's very true in the bigger things in life, the ruchnis things in life. The key to achieving greatness and success is the ability to think expansively and throw oneself into endeavors that seem at first impossible. Because when you think small, you remain small. But when you dream big, you achieve greatness. It's an amazing Rav Palm. This is Parsha. People think that even with the dreams, it comes impossible. But in Baruch Nis, in B'miyuchad, if you make the effort, Hashem helps you. The Torah tells us, V'yakam Moshe, but the Pasuk says something interesting. Hukam HaMishkan. The Mishkan was put up. Says the great Rav Palm, you know what that means? Moshe made effort. But ultimately, after you push and you make that effort, Hashem helps. But you gotta make the effort. I once saw a Gavaldika story, a great story, of Herschel Schechter. Herschel Schechter was not the one from Yitzchak Hanan, but Herschel Schechter was a very famous Rav in Brooklyn and in the Bronx. He was the chaplain of the United States Army, one of the main chaplains in World War II. There's a very famous picture of him in Buchenwald, right after the Holocaust, conducting services. So Herschel Schechter was a Talmud in Torah Vadas. He unfortunately, he came late almost every day to Shraga Feivel Mendelovich's Tanakh Shir. And one day, Reb Shlomo Feivel said to a young Herschel Schechter, Herzl, new, when are you going to come on time to shiur? So Herzl told him, Be'ezras Hashem, tomorrow. So Shlomo Feivel said, no, Be'ezras Herschel, tomorrow. Don't say Be'ezras Hashem. You have to make your efforts. You got to do your part. And the Rav Shlit, I can tell you, not 35 years ago, I remember going to the shul 15 years ago, 8 years ago. And if I would have imagined that it would have looked a building like this, with an Eitz HaSvarim like this, with a kehila like this, you wouldn't have imagined it. But it was a person who thought big and thinks big. That's how you get a building like this, a Maisad HaTorah like this, a Makom HaTorah like this. A place with a high ramah. And the Rav, as mentioned, was joined by others. And I knew that my father, who is a builder, since I know him, who was involved in klal work, some public, some not, he was very instrumental in the development. I was fortunate, and they were fortunate, that I slept my father into the kollel the first month that they opened. And my father was the chairman of the board of that kollel for over 10 years, and honestly, and to a large extent, especially in the early years, my father and a couple other people, the whole success was because of that. And I knew when my father came to this Makom HaTorah, he would help and aid and abet this place to become a big Makom HaTorah as well. My father's involved in countless other stakas and chasadim. Some people know about, some people don't know about. And my mother as well, I'll say, not only aiding and abetting, whether it's was the Bikur Cholam line as I grew up. And recently, actually, she's very involved in Pua. Every time I speak to her, she's involved in Pua. So I said, why are you doing this? She says she wants to do something which is totally hers. And Baruch Hashem, I grew up in a house which had asagas of being great, of doing and accomplishing great things. we talk about this Mishkan, this Makom Torah, or any Makom Torah. It takes, as I mentioned, it takes a lot of Siyata Deshmaya, it takes dreams, it takes vision, and it takes effort. You can't just say Be'ezras Hashem. You gotta take the initiative. You gotta make the effort. Actually, I mentioned this, I'm looking at Sidney Glenner, who really built not only the schools that I had in Chicago with almost 1,700 children, but a large part of Chicago. It takes effort. Takes effort. And it takes a lot of coming from not just our own door, but from previous. There's amazing, we talk about the Mishkan, there's an amazing pasuk, which the Bali Musar Darshan on, says, Re'e Karasi v'shem Betzalel ben Uri ben Chor, Lamati Yehuda, it says Betzalel ben Uri ben Chor, from the tribe of Yehuda. A few psukim later, it says, it talks about Betzalel's assistant, Ahaliyah ben Achisamach. So the Bali Musar ask, why? It's atypical. It's not normal that you usually say, Ben who's the son? Why is it going back all the way to Chor? And especially when a few psukim later, it just says Ahaliyah ben Achisamach. What's the pshat that it says by Betzalel all the way back to Chor? And the Bali Musar points out, and Rashi actually says this, that Chor, we know, it was the grandfather, the Zedah of Betzalel. And Chor was the one who rebuked the Jewish people when they started the Egel Azov and was murdered for that. And they point out, the Bali Musar, you know what? Don't think that any good word, that any good deed ever goes to waste. Don't think, oh, poor Chor, look what happened. No. Every good word and every good deed, sometimes it's years, sometimes it's a generation, but nothing which is valuable, which is halig, which is holy, ever goes to waste. And look, it would be Chor's grandson, Betzalel, who would build the Mishkan, which is the Hashras HaShchina. Sometimes it takes generations. but the efforts, the love, the mysterious nefesh of individuals pays off always. On that note, I actually remember this week, 1990, I was walking with my father, and we're coming from walking to, actually, I think the time was Beth Israel. So we're walking, and we bumped into, I mentioned Reb Abbey, I see Shlomi Berkowitz is in the room, to Reb Moshe Chaim Berkowitz, with a landsman from Europe. And my father said to me afterwards, "Do you know who that was?" I said, "No idea." He says, "That's Eli Wiesel. He had won the Nobel Peace Prize just 4 years earlier. That's Eli Wiesel." They were walking on Shabbos to Karasir to Davin. I knew who Eli Wiesel was then, but I did not know a story that happened in that year until many years later. In that same year, in 1990, Eli Wiesel went to Zaragoza, Spain. He was touring Spain. And he went to Spain, and he was looking around. It was near, of course, it was near a church in Spain. And some guy stops him. He said, "Would you like a tour?" And Eli Wiesel said, "Sure." And this guy is walking around with Eli Wiesel around Zaragoza, giving him a tour. At some point, Eli Wiesel mentioned, not that he won the Nobel Peace Prize, not that he was an author of many books, but that he was a Jew. And this Spanish person stops and says to him, "Could you please come to my apartment? I have to show you something." He begged him, and he went with him. And he goes to this person's apartment in Spain, in Zaragoza, Spain, and he says, "People have told me that this document is Jewish. It's been in my family for generations. And we don't know what it means, but we had a tradition in the home that should we ever lose it or destroy it or throw it out, we would be cursed. So we kept this document in our family, not knowing what it was." And Eli Wiesel looks at this document, which was clearly very, very old and written in Hebrew. And he starts to translate this document, and he starts to tremble. What did this document say in English? "I, Moshe ben Avraham, forced to break all ties with my people and my faith, leave these lines to the children of my children and theirs, in order that on the day when Israel will be able to walk again, its head held up high under the sun, without fear or remorse, they will know where their roots lie, written in the ninth of Av, in the year of punishment of exile." That was 1492. And when this Spanish guy heard this, he started to tremble. He said, "What in the world, what does this mean?" He said, he explained to him about what the Spanish Inquisition and expulsion was. And he says, "Obviously one of your ancestors 500 years ago was a Jew who wrote this for his future generations." And this Spanish person told Eli Wiesel, "It's so crazy, I always didn't like the Jews." Several years later, Eli Wiesel was walking in Yerushalayim, and somebody stops and screams, "Mr. Wiesel, I have to talk to you." He says, "Do you remember me?" He says, "No." He says, "I am the person who toured with you in Spain and you read the document. I came back. I'm a Jew. I have to show you my apartment now. And he goes to his apartment again, and he shows him that document on the wall. But instead of crosses in that house, there are Sfarim. And he told Eli Wiesel, and he said, "Do you know what my name is? Moshe ben Avram." Because sometimes things take years, and sometimes takes generations. My father mentioned that the Eitzer, Zecher Nishmas, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, who are all Holocaust survivors, miraculous Polish Holocaust survivors, and just a little bit about the people. On my father's side, Yosef Meir, was Lewick is Polish for Levine, or Levite in Poland. And so mamash, when you think, my grandfather, my Zayda, was with Brock, where he was right next to Treblinka, was the first reported Nazi atrocities in Poland and in the American press were in that town, in Brock. Because the Nazis didn't get to Warsaw and Lublin and Lodz right away. They came from the north and they came Panther style all the way down and Brock, the first papers, they burned the town. It literally is a nace that my Zayda got out. But what was the bigger nace is that my grandfather, my Zayda, was a Ben Zakunin Mamish. He, my great grandfather, Avram Zelig Luik, my father has a Zelig in his middle name, Avram Zelig Luik, was in his 60s when he got married for a second time. And he was 73 years old when my grandfather was born. 73. So, Sikush, I don't saw the news last week. This is not modern day technology. This is 73. He married a lady 36 years younger than him. Second marriage. He had grandchildren who, my Zayda, had great nephews who were older than him, great nieces who were older than him. But you know what? They all died in the Holocaust. And it was this Ben Zakunin. He had a brother who was disturbed by the Holocaust. This Ben Zakunin, my grandfather, not only survived, all of his Einiklach are from Yidden, Torah Yidden, Bnei Torah, Koilol, Roshivas, every single one. This child, born as somebody who would have said, 73, what are you having a child at 73 years old? But that, my great-grandfather, Ram Zelig, was a Yifrum Yid. I remember Chatzko Bernstein. I remember Chatzko Bernstein, Jack Bernstein's father. Chatzko made my grandparents shidduch. He told me as a kid that family, the Ger Chassidim, were very religious. And in fact, my great-grandfather passed away Moitzi Yom Kippur at the age of 93. His wife, my grandmother, Baba Ruth, came from a little town called Zlotcha on the Lodz district. Also miraculous that they got out. Although that, my grandmother, family, some of her siblings got out. But my great-grandfather, whose name was Yaakov Zaltzberg, my father got the name, Yaakov, he was one of the first founders of the Beis Yaakov in all of Poland. My bubby sat on Sarah Schneer's lap. My great uncle told me about hearing Meir Shapiro come. My great grandfather was a businessman. He started the school, built the school, taught in the school. In the 1920s, because he wanted his children to have chinuch, and therefore, when they survived the Holocaust, and my grandparents, you have to imagine, they were actually lucky. They ended up running out of Poland, being thrown into Siberia. Not that lucky, but spent 5 years in Siberia. When my grandparents came after being years in DP camps in 1950s, so about 10 plus years of Holocaust DP camps, no money, no language, nothing, and nothing, no way to get into chinuch. My grandmother cried that her son should go to MTJ because they had no money to give. Where did she get those tears? From her parents. From her parents. My mother's parents were not as lucky. They were second marriage. My father mentioned there were 300,000 Polish Jews who survived, but 270,000 of those Polish Yidden were not in Poland. They were in Siberia. They were forcibly taken by Stalin and thrown into Siberia. There were only 30,000 Yidden in all of Poland that would survive the Holocaust in Poland for those 6 years. About two of them were my grandparents, but their first spouses were murdered. My grandfather saw his first wife and two kids shot to death in front of his eyes. And my grandfather, Reuben, his own father, Chaim, my middle name is Chaim. Chaim was originally Katzbach, ran away in the 1880s, changed his whole identity to get out of the Russian army. It's like amazing, when you look at the documents, he took a totally false identity just to escape the Russian army, because Poland was under Russian. He came from an area near Lvov, Lemberg, and moved in the Lublin area, that he should be from, his children should be from, and eventually his great-great-grandchildren should be from. And he married my grandmother, who was Ishbitz Kotzk for the Morgensterns, Glenners. There were Ishbitzer Kotzker Chassid Menachem Mendel. I was named after that great-grandfather. Was named after the Kotzker Rebbe. My great-grandfather, in my grandmother's town, my Bubby Miriam, there was no Beis Yaakov. But my Bubby Miriam, like she told me, her father learned half a day and worked half a day. But there was not a day where he didn't go to that Polish public school to check with his Heisa Chassid, to check on his daughter. Not a day. And my Bubby, when she was younger, was a little bit more, not as from. It was a Chassidish family, but she was more into Beitar. She had all kinds of stuff. He married her very young, right? And I imagine my great-grandfather every single day. But my Bubby, when my mother had a question of where to go to school many years later, she had no choice. Because that's what she saw from her own father. That's the Ben Chor. It passes down. It's not lost. My Schwieger was very, very close to Rebbetzin Youngreis. Esther Youngreis, I got to know her a little bit. So Youngreis would say an amazing story of her war story. So the following thing, so when she was 8 years old, in 1944, she was in Hungary. So the war came there much later. In 1944, she went with her parents to her grandfather's house for a week. And every day, as an eight-year-old girl, she would sit on her grandfather's lap, and he would learn. And the last day that she was there, a short period right before the war hit Hungary, she's sitting on her Zeta's lap, this great Rav, and he's crying. And she asks her father, Tati, why is Zaidi crying? And he says the following. And he says the following thing. He says, come outside and let's walk in the snow. It's snowing. And he walks in the snow and he says, follow me. And little Esther Youngreis follows her father foot by foot in the snow. And after walking 20, 30 feet, he says to her, why did I tell you to follow my footsteps? And she says, because you didn't want me to fall. You wanted to make the footsteps so I should not slip in the snow. And he said to his daughter, Beir Youngreis, that's why Zaidi was crying. When he was learning Torah and you were on his lap, this is shortly before the war and before the June 1944, where all of the Yidden were going to the death camps. He said, your grandfather was crying with you on his lap because he was saying to himself, he's not just learning for him. He's learning for you, Esther. He's learning for your children, Esther. And he's making the path for you to learn. And so I stand here today, really, on the footsteps of my parents, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, who going farther back, who made the path for me and my siblings, for our children, to live Torah lives. And I think back at some of my great-great-grandparents, I'll tell their stories. Nothing goes to waste. No good deed. No good action. So I want to finish with one thought on the Eitzer Svarim. There's an amazing, I saw the Minchas Asher of Asher Weiss. It's an amazing zach. It's an amazing thing. He says, what's the pshat? You ever heard of Simchas? You ever heard of Sefer Torah? Everyone's so happy, right? Everyone's dancing, and there's music, and it's Lebedik, and everyone's so excited. He says, what's the pshat? One person's giving the Torah, and everyone else is dancing and singing along, and they're all so labedic. So Rav Asher Weiss quotes the Pnei Yeshua and the Shlomo, both quote the Zayar, that says, Yisrael stands for Yesh Shishim Ribo Isis LaTorah. There are 600,000 letters of Torah, and every year, all of us have one letter of the Torah. So Rav Minchas Asher says, when you are added to the Sefer Torah, it's not just the individuals. We all have a connection. We're all connected to that Torah. The Rosh says that today the mitzvah of writing a Torah is writing Svarim. So when we have an Oitzer Svarim, it's not just a Levine Oitzer, it's all of our Oitzer Svarim. It's all of our Simcha. So my bracha really is that it should be a Schus, the Oitzer Svarim, my parents' involvement in the Shul and the Chesed, should be a Schus to my parents, to my grandparents, to to my great grandparents who were murdered, and to the ancestors, to the shul, and to echo the Rav Shlita, that this Mishkan Me'at, should be Zoicha with the Eitz Yisrael, with this Makom HaKadosh, B'mehera V'yameinu, to be transported with all of us to Yerushalayim, Yir HaKadosh, B'mehera V'yameinu. Mishkan.